present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmer, Clement Freud, and Geraldine Jones in just a minute. And as the Minute Wars fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And once again, it's my pleasure to welcome the four most exotic players of the game. And I'm going to ask them to speak, if they can, for just a minute on some unlikely subject, without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject. If one of the others thinks they're guilty of doing this, they may challenge. And if I uphold their challenge or otherwise, they will gain points or otherwise. And that's the way we play. That's the way we score. Kenneth Williams, will you begin? The subject is Hercules. Will you talk on that for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, he was one of the most heroic of the Greek personalities in mythology, of course. He was supposedly the son of that old man up there who ruled from Olympus and Alcmenes, and he did incur the wrath, oh yes, of Hera, who sent them serpents to devour him, and he strangled with his bare hands. And of course, ever since then, he's come to symbolize man, naked strength against adversity. I suppose you'd say his Christian counterpart was Samson, and I suppose his ultimate vulgarization is the Edgar Barrows Rice thing called Tarzan. I have been compared, I've been called Herculean myself, because on this show I have wrestled with the most appalling adversities and yet come out on top, my face smiling, my strength unimpaired. Is this not the most incredible achievement for anyone? I defy.
Indeed, is this not the most incredible achievement of all? The beginning of the show, the first round, he goes without being interrupted in Herculean style and gains himself a bonus point. The first time it's happened for a long time. Congratulations, Kenneth.
I'll probably drive myself up with the rest.
Well, you have now a commanding lead over everybody else who have yet to speak. Geraldine Jones, will you start the next round for us? The subject is adventure. Can you talk excitingly about that for 60 seconds, starting now?
Let me say now that I find adventure the most tremendously exciting subject. I just long to go out in my little coracle and sail over the seas alone.
Daring Nimmer, why have you challenged?
I don't believe she's got a little coracle.
All right, we'll give you a bonus point for cleverness, but we leave the subject with Geraldine Jones and say that you have 44 seconds for adventure, Geraldine, starting now.
I yearn to go up to the North Pole and spend days...
Derek Nimmer, why have you chatted?
Can't you get the North Pole in a little corrigal?
I didn't say how I was going to get
you went
show.
Out, in it.
No, she had... This is the problem when you are interrupted and you start again. You can, as you often do, Derek, start again on a completely different tack.
I'm so sorry.
And she might have been going on a different tack.
Oh,
I think you were too
I'm
keen getting in
sorry,
there.
Ms. James.
So, Geraldine has another point, and she has 40 seconds to continue her exciting adventures, starting now.
It would be the merest stupidity to suppose that the truly adventurous spirit is restrained to one form of transport. Sometimes I take to my waxen wings and float up to the sky.
Clement Roy, why have you challenged?
Deviation, I don't believe.
No, I'm afraid there, Geraldine, I do
Coracle,
not believe you
I
have
will.
Waxen wings or yes. any other kind of wings. Yes. So,
you're afraid that has nothing to do with it. It's believable. Deviation simply means leaving the subject. It's not to do with reality. She's at liberty to say what she likes about waxen wings, isn't she?
She's allowed to say what she likes about waxen wings, but she was talking about her own waxen wings, and I do not believe that she's got them. Therefore, I award a point to Clement Freud and ask him to continue on the subject with 31 seconds for adventure, starting now.
This was the name of a magazine when I was a small boy and had a stirring story about four transvestites who went to
Clement Williams, why do you challenge?
Deviation. Transvestites, indeed. I haven't come here to listen to a load of filth, you know.
Four transvestites sounds extraordinarily devious.
Yes, it does.
So you get a bonus point for cleverness, and Clement Freud continues with his adventure.
Oh.
23 seconds left, Clement, starting now.
One day I went out into the park late at night, and behind a bush there was a man with a gun and a sword. And as he saw me arriving, he pulled his weapon from his pocket.
Very Clement, you're challenged.
Deviation.
He hasn't become devious yet.
You're obviously dying to hear the rest of it. He's throbbing with it, isn't he?
You're making it much, much worse, you know, Kenneth. Well tried, Derek, but you got in a bit too soon. He hadn't got there yet, and so Clement gets another point because of that, and there are 6 seconds left for adventure. Clement, starting now.
Pressed it into my abdomen and said, halt!
Derek, Clement, why have you chatted?
A nasty thing to push a sword in the sun this time. It's very deep.
I know, but he still hadn't deviated from his adventure, which he was describing.
Oh, well, so, then that's
therefore,
quite true.
He gets another point, and 4.5 seconds left for the adventure, Clement, starting now.
It is I, a friend, I cried, and the man whipped his revolver to the other side of...
Freud's strange adventure in the park gained him quite a number of points. So he's taken a very definite lead at the end of that round. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is the Arabian Nights. Can you talk about that for 60 seconds, starting now?
These are now called the Warriors of Jerusalem, but in the old days, many of the dignitaries who lived around what is now called Iran and was then called Arabia.
Geraldine Jones, why have you challenged?
Hesitation.
No, I don't think so. Sort of teetering. She was teetering on the edge of hesitation, but I'm not going to give it against Clement this time. 47 seconds for you, Clement, to continue with the Arabian Nights, starting now.
It's also a book about a man called Harun al-Rashid, who was an emperor, and his grand vizier. And in 1001 episodes, this volume expounds the evening spent around campfires in the desert of this nomadic flock of people who went hither and there, yon and thither.
Kenneth Williams, why have you challenged?
I think it's all boring.
So what do you challenge?
Deviation.
Not at all.
Well, give me a point then.
No, I'm not going to give you a point. You've got quite enough. You go on challenging that. All that happens is you can come and Freud more points.
Well, I think I should be made a fuss of, and nothing's happening here.
Well, put your little pink cap on. Don't you all love Kenneth? You've got enough fuss from that. He's made his point. So, Clement Freud continues with his Arabian Nights for 25 seconds, starting now.
One night, this celebrated dignitary stepped...
Geraldine Jones, why have you challenged?
Repetition of dignitary.
Yes, we did have a dignitary before. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Yes,
every
yes,
other
yes,
word.
So there are 21 seconds for you, Geraldine, now on the Arabian Nights, starting now.
This sultan had a great penchant for stories, and he demanded every night that someone tell him a story that...
Derek Nimmo, why have you challenged?
Repetition of night. Rather too much night.
Not by me.
No.
Poor thing hasn't even mentioned it once.
I think she only mentioned night once, didn't you?
I haven't mentioned it at all.
No. Geraldine gets another point, and there are 7 seconds left for the Arabian Nights, Geraldine, starting now.
One of these stories is...
Clement Freud, you've challenged.
Hesitation.
As you see what you do, you inhibit them by challenging too much, and they
stutter. He was most ungallant to even accuse her of it, I think. He's no gentleman.
So, Clement gets another point, and he has 5 seconds left for the Arabian Nights, starting now.
Dressed in the garments of a beggar, he stole through the streets late of an evening, and with a sickle moon...
So, as Clement Freud managed to get in then, just before the whistle went, he was speaking as it went, and he gains another point. In fact, he gets 2 points in all at then, and so he has a very commanding lead at the end of that particular round. Kenneth Williams, it's your turn to begin making happy faces. We've asked you to talk about that for 60 seconds, if you can, Kenneth, starting now.
This is a happy choice for me because I am a past master, one of the great exponents of making happy faces throughout the length and breadth of Great Britain, from Ballyhoolish to Bognor. I'm known for that smiling visage which so gladdens the hearts of our citizens, high and low. But another example of it, of course, would be Franz Hals' famous portrait, The Laughing Cavalier. Oh, what jollity there is in those fine features. Almost one could say...
Just almost, but not quite. Geraldine Jones challenged you, Geraldine.
reluctantly hesitation.
Not reluctantly, it was a very definite hesitation.
Well, I've had such...
So, Geraldine, you get a point and you have 23 seconds left for making happy faces, starting now.
It's absolutely impossible to make a happy face because this implies some degree of compulsion. And, of course, if you're not really deeply contented, it's impossible...
Derek Nimmer, why do you challenge?
Well, impossible. Repetition of impossible.
Yes, it was. Indeed, it was. I would have also had deviation because you can make a happy face. I think Kenneth had actually established it beyond any doubt. So, Derek, you gain a point and you take over the subject with 12 seconds left, starting now.
In my own tiny way, when I go onto the stage with the theatre at night, I try to make the faces beneath me rather happier than when they enter the auditorium. I do this by a number of means. I wave my hand in the air, I lift my bowler hat, I show my...
Well, Derek Nimmo's happy faces have last started to bring him a little way up from the rear in the score, because he, for once, is lying fourth, which is unusual. Let us continue, and Derek, begin the next round. The subject is When Father Papered the Parlour. That's one of those long subjects which I know makes it impossible for the chairman to judge when they start challenging, but we'll do our best. Derek, will you start now?
Well, I think I must establish at the beginning that my father was a very eccentric man. His name was Henry Nimmo, and he lived in Craigmore Road, Liverpool. When he did finally decide to paper the parlour, he chose to decorate it with copies of the Liverpool Echo. In fact, he chose only the football edition because of the particularly pretty pink colour that they used at that time. Well, of course, this made it a rather lengthy process because he would never put up more than one edition at one week.
Again, Clement, why have you challenged?
Hesitation.
Hesitation, I agree. So there are 30 seconds for When Father Papered the Parlour, Clement, starting now.
Lord Finchley, one night, tried to mend the electric light. Himself, he got a shock. It struck him dead and served him right.
Derek Nimmo, why have you challenged?
Deviation.
Why?
Well, he's not talking about Father Paper in the Parlour. He's talking about Lord Finchley or something. I don't know.
Yeah. What on earth has it got to do with Father Paper in the Parlour, Clement?
It is the duty of a nobleman to give employment to an artisan, which is why my father never papered the parlour.
I think you got to your point far too late, so I give a point to Derek Nimmo with When Father Papered the Parlour, 15 seconds, starting now.
Finally, he got round to the ceiling. This was in 1948. And during the end of the war, there'd come...
Geraldine, why have you challenged?
48 was 3 years after
the war. After the war, yes, I quite agree. That was definite deviation. So, Geraldine, you get a point. And there are 8 seconds for When Father Papered the Parlour, starting now.
There was only one occasion on which my father papered the parlour, and it is so seared upon all our memories that he will never do it again. He began by very laboriously...
Well, as Geraldine Jones was speaking then when the whistle went, she gets an extra point, and she's creeping up behind our leader, Clement Freud. Geraldine, will you begin the next round? The subject is panic. 60 seconds, starting now.
I do, on occasion, make speeches, and I think that it is during these occasions that I feel the...
Derek Nimmo, you've challenged.
Repetition of occasions.
Yes, I'm afraid there was, Geraldine. There are 48 seconds left for panic, Derek, starting now.
It was an emotion that this particular deity was supposed to induce, and that was why it was so called. I went to see a play some years ago when a member of this audience was playing in this great god, and, in fact, I was reduced to a tremendous state of panic. Because it was played by Kenneth Williams. I remember on the stage in Shaftesbury Avenue, and I saw him leaping around, all in green knickers and things. And my goodness, I was frightened. I rose. I leapt out of my seat. I rushed to the door. Down the Strand I went. Went quite a long way. And as I got near at the end of the Strand, I said, I can't see Kenneth Williams again ever. And I turned over the platform this letter a few months later, and there he was, sitting looking at me again. And my goodness, panic. Ah, I shouted. I cried. Oh dear, have we reached the end? Oh, I got the end.
No.
I'm sorry. I let you go on because we loved it. I'm sorry to have exhausted you.
I beg your pardon.
And I know the audience loved it, but a long time ago, Clement Freud challenged, and I think I know why, Clement.
Repetition of Strand.
Yes, there was far too much Strand in it. You did repeat the Strand.
Well, we would
rushed up and down.
Exhaust myself.
I loved it, you see. It is a game, after all. But you did repeat the Strand, so Clement takes over the subject with... 13 seconds left, starting now.
It has been established that panic is something that I am particularly prone to. often when...
Geraldine Jones, why do...
It has never been established that it is something Clement Freud is praying.
Absolutely.
Yes, he may feel it, but it's never been established. So I agree with you, Geraldine, and you take the subject, take the point and the subject of panic with 7 seconds left, starting now.
My worst moments of panic are endured when I find myself in the middle of a sentence and I have no idea how it's going to end. I look at the faces...
Derek Nimmer, why do you challenge?
Deviation, I don't believe that ever happens.
Well, this time one could believe it happened. It's not been established. So there are 1 second left for you on panic, Geraldine, starting now.
You look at all the faces.
The more cheerful version of Geraldine Jones is doing great things for her. You're creeping up marvellous. You're only 2 points behind our leader, Clement Freud, at the end of that round, Geraldine. Clement, it is your turn to begin, and the subject is the advantages of living. Will you go on about it for 60 seconds, starting now?
The advantages of living can only be assessed in respect of the advantages...
Kenneth Williams, White. White agree, Kenneth. So there are 54 seconds left for the advantages of living, Kenneth, starting now.
Well, obviously, they can only be compared with the other, which is, I suppose, the advantages of being dead. And since no one returns to tell us about such a thing, the advantages of living are manifold. We exhale and we inhale. Systole and
Derek Nimmo has challenged again. Why?
Repetition of hail.
But you see,
oh, shame on you lot for clapping.
Yes. Shame on you lot for clapping, because the word he used were inhale and exhale, which are two separate words.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Nick. Lovely fella. Lovely fella, he is.
So he has another point, and there are 28 and a half seconds left for the advantages of living, and I'm glad you have the advantages of living, because we love it, Kenneth, starting now.
Systole and diastole, without which there would be no life. As Hadrian always said, half of play.
Geraldine, why have you challenged?
Well, this isn't an advantage of living. It's
of course it is.
I'm with you, Kenneth. You're still on the advantages of living. I don't think you've deviated from the subject yet, and there are 20 seconds left for you to continue. Starting now.
And the advantages are obviously fulfillment. What better thing in this world have you got than the spectacle of someone fulfilling themselves?
Wait a minute. Let's hear his challenge, Kenneth. What was it?
Repetition.
What of?
And.
Oh. I just explained to any of the listeners who didn't quite catch up with what was going on. Kenneth said fulfilling and fulfillment, and Derek, being very keen on his buzzer, thought he was saying the same word twice, which he didn't, and he very cleverly twisted to repetition of the word and, which I will not allow. So Kenneth gets another point, and he has 11 seconds for the advantages of living, starting now.
And the other advantage is, of course, material comfort. You're central eating, you're wall-to-wall, and you're uncut moquette. Can come in very Andy, on a dark
Derek
night
Nimmo has
with a
challenged
blizzard.
You again. Larry, what? He's challenged you again. Derek, why
uncut laquette, you said.
Uncut moquette, I said. Oh, what's the
just
matter with
a minute. I don't mind what you said.
Very
good title, isn't it? Just a minute. I don't mind what you said. It might have been the most peculiar stuff you've got on your floor, but it's still not deviating from the subject, so you have another point, Kenneth, and you have 1.5 seconds for the advantages of living starting now.
And lie in there in a hot bath. All the joys of the basement.
Well, all I can say is that I am glad that Kenneth Williams has the advantages of living and the advantages of abundant life throbbing through his veins to give us such guts and stamina to stand up to all those challenges and come from a mere 6 points up to 12 points at the end of that
round. Oh, is that me? I'm in the lead?
No, you're still in third place.
Honestly, you do that. You egg me on and make me think I'm getting there.
I know, but we loved it when you were egged on with the advantages of living. You are getting very close.
You're only three points
behind our leader, Clement Freud. Only one point behind Derek Nimmo. And the next subject is puns, and it's your turn to begin. Kenneth Williams, subject puns, 60 seconds, starting now.
One of the best examples of these that I ever read was Charles Lamb's, when he said that an undergraduate accosted a gamekeeper in Oxford High and said, "Is that your own hair?" And the man said, "No, it's a wig." And I thought it was very funny, but I was told an even better one about the editor of Time and Life magazine in...
Derek Nimmo, why have you challenged?
Well, it wasn't a pun.
I don't think it was a pun.
Of course it was. The man was carrying a hair in his hand. He said, is that your own hair or is it a wig?
Oh, you never stand.
I didn't mention that it was Arabic, because I obviously thought you were familiar with Charles Lamb. It didn't occur to me that you
wasn't a pun.
You never
it's
said
it's the most famous pun of Charles Lamb. I thought you'd be familiar with it.
If you'd told it properly, we'd have been there.
Well, I was assuming you were literate.
No, actually, I'm going to put this to the audience. I'll tell you why. Because, you see, Kenneth did
anyway,
tell...
I didn't disobey any rules of the game.
No, listen, you did tell the pun of Charles Lamb, but you didn't make it quite clear that the chap had this rabbit in his hand. So I'm not going to judge on this, because in one sense he wasn't deviating, in another sense because he didn't make the story clear, he was. So you will be the final judges. If you agree with Derek Nemo's challenge, will you cheer? If you disagree with his challenge, will you boo? And will you all do it together now?
Boo!
They're with you, Kenneth.
Oh, good, yes.
You have another point, and you have the subject of puns with 37 seconds left, starting now.
The deputy editor, actually, of Time and Life, and this man met
Clement
him at this
Freud
party. Oh, for goodness sake, shut up.
Repetition of Time and Life.
Yes, this is unfortunate.
Well, I couldn't do it without telling you the story. I was a bit accused of it again.
I know, but you see, Kenneth...
Isn't he also...
Clement Freud has a point, and there are 34 seconds left for puns, Clement, starting now.
One of the less well-known puns concerned a Professor Barnstaple who was walking down Trinity Lane in Cambridge holding a hedgehog when he was approached by a policeman who said to him, "Excuse me, sir, am I to intimate that you are in the possession of a bicycle chain?"
Derek Nemo, you've challenged.
Well, hesitation, actually. I should have said
yes, hesitation. Oh, he was barnstorming, honestly. Or hedgehogging his way through. Derek Nemo, you gain a point, and you have 12 seconds left for puns, starting now.
There was a certain lady in Whitechapel High Street who was walking along with a nanny goat. She was approached by a third policeman in the Metropolitan Police Force, and he came over to the lady who had the aforementioned beast.
Geraldine Jones, you've challenged. Why?
Repetition of lady.
Yes, that's right. So he did have more than one lady. So, Geraldine, there's literally half a second for puns, starting now.
It's terribly difficult.
Well, as they all scored points in that round, the situation is much the same. Clement Freud leads Derek by one, and... he leads Geraldine by only one, and she leads Kenneth by two, and he leads Derek by four. Let's get on with the game, shall we? The subject now is what I'd do on the moon. I say, it's a lovely thought. Derek, it's with you. 60 seconds starting now.
Well, I suppose I should get up in the morning in my little suit and I'd wander around and look at the Earth and say how awfully pretty everything looks. I'd probably buy myself a telescope from a little shop around the corner and I'd have a look down and see if I could see if old Parsons was still playing that silly game somewhere in the BBC. And then I suppose for my summer holidays I'd go to the Sea of Tranquility. There I'd look at all those little pebbles and think how beautiful it all is. And then I'd sing nasty rhymes. Goodness, yes I would. I just suddenly thought that. What a good idea. I'd say, "Mary, quite contrary, how does your garden grow with silver bells and little shells and pretty maids all in a row?"
Geraldine has challenged you, I'm afraid, Derek. Why, Geraldine?
Deviation. He said he was going to sing nursery rhymes and he just recited it.
Well, I still... Oh, dear, how terribly difficult, because that might be Derek's way of singing, for all I know.
Yes.
So I think that, strictly speaking, he wasn't altogether deviating from the subject of what I'd do on the moon, and there are 25 seconds to continue, Derek, starting now.
And then I'd start digging, and down I would go into the bowels of the moon. And when I actually approached them, I would look very carefully to the left and to the right before crossing over the aforesaid thing, and then I'd come up the other side, open my napkin.
Derek Nemo has managed to draw up very, very considerably, and he has come into second place alongside Kenneth Williams. They are both equal in second place behind a joint winners again, Geraldine Jones and Clement Freud. Congratulations, Richard. I do hope that you've enjoyed this particular edition of Just a Minute. From all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Simon Brett.